Hey, it's Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve adoption in their communities. Right now, the current Bitcoin price is $20,935. One US dollar could buy you 4,777 Satoshis. And the current block height is 746,672. And I'm doing a podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard in their communities. And a big part of the movement that's happening in communities is meetups. And I've met several meetup organizers, and just through talking with meetup organizers, getting mine going, just really great people out there. And so today we're going to be bringing on Tim and Dan with Lincolnland Bitcoiners. Tim, Dan, thank you for being here and welcome.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks for having us.
So why don't you go ahead and just each of you, whoever wants to start first, just a little bit of your Bitcoin background and a little bit of how you got started in the meetup.
Well, Dan's our OG, so go ahead, Dan.
Thanks. Well, you know, I started, I think, down the rabbit hole. It had been sometime 2017. I was, you know, avid investor, followed a lot of investing blogs. One of the blogs actually started talking about Bitcoin, and it really drove me to further research in the space. I went out to YouTube right away and discovered Andreas and all his videos. That really kind of helped me. And then I started making some small purchases, which led to some dollar cost averaging. You know, went through the bull market run there at the end of 2017 when the bear market hit. I, you know, continued to dollar cost average, and, you know, really haven't looked back since. So I'd have to say that, you know, been in it ever since then. And then Tim.
Yeah, I got in around 2018, like middle of the year, right before that last big dip. I actually, so I'm a part-time musician, I'm a music teacher. And I sold some music equipment online and had a little bit in my Cash App. And I was just like, well, I know my sister made a killing in 2017. I didn't really know much about it. So I bought some and then see it go down a lot. And, funny thing is my dad big into investing and trying to get me into investing. I've studied with him and got in economics. So I had a little Austrian take on it. And then the more I learned, I just started. He actually told me to get into crypto, which we did. And I started learning about Bitcoin. And then the more I learned ever since then, I've been trimming that down as close to zero as I can and putting everything I have into Bitcoin. The more, you know, the more education you have, the more conviction you have. So
absolutely.
That's where I came from.
I love that. I love, you know, like the stronger the meetups, the stronger, more conviction people get who come to the meetups, the, you know, better knowledge they have, the more they're able to go out and educate others, because with that conviction just comes a passion. And that's something you see in Bitcoiners, very passionate people. And we're on a mission to, you know, drive this forward and do Satoshi's work.
Well, and on top of that, the more you're cool with the downturns and the bear markets, you know, I everybody asks me, you know, about volatility. They ask us about volatility. And it's like, you know, I've been through at least 50% drawdowns. It's okay. You know, it's part of the process. You can't have exponential growth without a little volatility, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm still new to Bitcoin, and my first buy was February 2021. It was around 50,000. And then, you know, it went up to 60, and then, yeah, it went down to 30s. And so I got a quick taste of how to hodl and why I was doing it, but I just dug in so hard, so fast that, you know, by the time that dip happened, you know, I was ready for it mentally. My conviction was there. So it didn't take me long, just because for me, it was a political, you know, it was like it could fix the politics in the world, just kind of create a better environment for the world. You know, the money was the last thing to fix, or is like the most important thing to fix with our current political situation. And you know, once I found, once Bitcoin found me, I was just like, oh, that's it. That's a missing piece. And, I just dedicated all my time to this now.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
What's your guys' favorite aspect about Bitcoin? What's your Lightning mining? What's kind of your favorite rabbit hole to go down?
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh man, I kind of try to do the jack of all trades. I try and go down a lot of different rabbit holes. Like I said, I have the Austrian background, you know. But I haven't gotten into mining, but I've tried to understand it. I have somewhat of a technical background. I was in the Air Force and I worked on planes. So I kind of know a little bit about the technology, but there's no way I could do a miner. But I do run a node and also got into Lightning trying to do a routing node. I try and dabble in all aspects. There's so many ways you could go with that.
How's your luck been with trying to do a routing node?
You got to put in the time and energy. And I did, and I got it up, but you got to stay on top of it. And I don't know enough command line, or any really, to be able to do it. I know the UI is improving for that. It's, you know, I went through Umbral and, that helps. And there's a great community out there, to support you through Telegram and whatnot, and obviously Twitter. But I didn't stay on top of it.
What group helped you?
Oh gosh. Plebnet.
That's what I was going to say. Plebnet helping me get going with my node was just such great help. I mean, so many people willing to, you know, guide you through the process of getting a node up and running.
Well, shout out to Erin Malone. She's amazing. I mean, follow her if you're on Twitter looking to run a Lightning node. There's a ton of people out there. I mean, so yeah, but I try and dabble in all areas, you know, the societal benefits, the mining, the trying to understand how it revolutionizes the electricity, you know, the energy markets.
That's wild to go down and wrap your head around.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from a, you know, just a macro perspective, just being an investor. And, you know, when Michael Saylor came out of the scene, you know, and the ultimate savings technology, I've always looked at it as, you know, this is the ultimate store of value. And I think it might have been Preston Pish a while back. He had posted a chart that really hit home where he showed the S&P 500 overlaid with the M2 total money supply. And as the money supply expanded, so did the S&P 500 lockstep. That really was a light bulb moment to see how the expansion of the money supply overall affected the market. And, you know, that story, along with just the inflation that has come along with it here recently, you know, I think is really, really at home with me. As far as a rabbit hole, you mentioned wasted energy and just the whole mining. There's so much I feel with the methane gas and just studying the different companies that are out there that are actually working in that space. It's really fascinating to see, you know, not only in the oil and gas fields, but also, you know, I've seen more recently there's some startup companies in the waste management space where they're going out to the landfills and they're taking that trapped methane that was going to either be burned off or become a greenhouse gas problem and actually monetizing it. So I think there are a lot of good stories to tell on how Bitcoin fixes this, how it's helping with the climate crisis.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, just thinking about how much energy can grow. You know, energy means human flourishing, and just the possibilities of the world that we could live in. To think how far we've advanced in the past, you know, 80 years and everything. To think how much further we could advance when, you know, that thumb kind of gets let off of the energy sector more, and we are starting to be, you know, start to get able to do nuclear one day or whatever, just focus on more hydro. And then just, you know, the creativity that comes with it. There's like geothermal energy, just all kinds of different stuff. So the possibilities that come with it, and to think of, you know, future jobs and stuff that that provides, it's just going to be really unbelievable. And when you think about Bitcoin, and, you know, it's so easy to just think about the money and what the money can fix. But then you think about all these other benefits that come off of it, man, it's just really mind blowing. And it makes me so grateful that we have this in our lives now.
Agreed. And when you talk to people, they think Bitcoin little b, you know what I mean? They think the asset. You look on the TV, you see the ticker symbol. So they're thinking it's, you know, something I can exchange for dollars and hopefully get more of and to get more dollars back. And so that's their first so many touch points. And they don't realize there's so much more to it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. Why don't you guys go ahead and start talking about your meetup and when did it start getting going and how?
Well, we had our first meetup last August, and funny story, like I said, I used to teach elementary. I teach elementary music now. I actually taught Dan's daughters before I actually knew him, and then COVID happened, and I don't know how we ran into each other online, but we started, or I think
you posted on Facebook, and I think my wife saw the post, and I was shocked. I'm like, wait a second, that's my daughter's teacher, and he's posting about Bitcoin. So I was coaching my wife. Now you need to respond back this. I forget what might have been. Bitcoin fixes this, and then next thing we know, Tim and I are hitting it off and talking, and went out, met each other out, and then that's kind of where the idea of a meetup came. We just started talking about, you know, how long you've been in the space, what have you been doing, and so it was kind of great to make that connection. And then Tim came up with the idea, you know, what do you think about, you know, in doing some type of meetup in the Springfield area? How do you think it would go over? And it's like, well, you know what, let's give it a go. So yeah, it was a year ago. It was like last August. We put it out there online and said, well, whoever wants to show up, we have a local wine store that is gracious enough to let us post our meetups there. And how many did we have that first time? Was it like a dozen?
Five or seven? Yeah, it wasn't over a dozen. But
it wasn't over a dozen. Right.
Yeah, that's not too bad for your first one. You know, there's a lot of meetups to just get going, and it's 3 to 4 people. But a really cool feature that I found through starting, because I lived in Bakersfield, California before moving to Knoxville, so I've actually started 2 meetups this year so far. Nice. And it's really cool to come across people who are like, oh, wow, I thought I was the only Bitcoiner here in town. And then just the connections that make, you know, and, you know, it's awesome to know that a teacher's out there who's a Bitcoiner. And I was a substitute teacher before this. I wanted to be a high school history teacher. Nice. And I would wear a Bitcoin sweatshirt to school. And so I'd get called the Bitcoin guy and stuff. And then occasionally some kids would come up to me, so tell me about this, you know? So maybe should not have been doing that, but I was a substitute, whatever. Plus I knew I was leaving in a couple months. So yeah, it was really cool having them come up to me and just thinking like, oh man, like I could be that first Bitcoin touch for that guy, you know, at such a young age. And maybe by the time he's out of high school in 20, you know, if he's not too busy being young and dumb, you know, might start buying early.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a Bitcoin hoodie as well that I wear during the winter, but it's elementary kids, so they're like, "What's Bitcoin?" I'm like,
"Oh yeah.
Let's sing and dance. Let's sing and dance."
Yep. There's some Bitcoin kids books, so I got my nephew.
There are, but yeah, I'll talk to teachers if they ask.
You know, oh yeah.
I can't. I'll push it on anybody, but while I'm at work, it's, you know.
Kind of, oh, yeah.
It's, come to me, and I'll tell you everything you want to know.
Yep. You just got to approach me first.
Yeah, right.
So you guys said you had about 5 to 10 your first meetup. What's been the attendee count so or since then this past year?
It's well, when the price was going up, we got haven't gotten past 20, I don't think.
No.
But we've also been back down to 5. Like the last meetup, it was about 5 or 6. And it fluctuates in there. Springfield, Illinois is about 120,000. It's the state capital, so I mean, there's a lot we can get here. But yeah, probably 515, would you say, Dan?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, it's had its ups and downs. You know, went through a COVID spell, and you know, a lot of people catching COVID, they're missing. But you know, we try to have a meetup once a month. We try to do it on the first Monday of the month. But yeah, I mean, overall, you know, I think, anywhere between 5 to 12 on average.
Yeah. You know, that's not too bad. That's about average for most meetups, you know, truly. So, there's only a handful of them out there that are getting big, you know, big, impressive numbers. But you know, it doesn't even take much to give you that good feeling of, you know, having a meetup space. And you could just get so stuck involved with, like, I know for my meetups, I generally end up speaking with one person for hours, and I kind of feel bad because I've ignored other people. But, and it seems like I'm thinking that every freaking meetup we have. So, you know, whether it's 5, 10, 50, or 100, you know, just the meetup space is just so vital to this. And keeping it going, you know, especially you guys are doing it once a month like I am, you know, no matter how many people it is, it gives me an excuse to get out and about, and it gives me a place to give other Bitcoiners to go.
Right.
And I think it's been great also just, you know, I think I'm fine with growing it, you know, organically one Bitcoiner at a time. Cause the relationships we've made with those that are consistently showing up. You know, we've got some great new relationships that we've developed with some great like-minded people that come to our meetups, and I think that's you know a great part of it. You know, not only them learning, but we're learning as we go along too.
Yeah, my co-organizer, when we first started working on getting ours going, we just through texting we found out we each had a fiance the same age. So we ended up going on kind of like a double date to start planning the meetup. And, you know, we're generally friends outside of our meetup stuff as well. So we'll get together and hang out as couples. So that's been a really cool aspect to gain from this experience, especially since me and my fiance have nobody here and don't know anyone. So that was a really great connection to make early on for us to make it feel more homey. So
that's funny. Yeah. Go ahead.
What was that? Sorry.
It's funny you say that because we had a guy show up who I went to church with when I was very young, you know, and come to find out he's a nuclear engineer and he mines out of his house.
Oh, wow.
So now he's our mining expert.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think like how many people are mining at home, you know, or not that there's a ton, but there are some out there, and it's crazy to think that people are doing it. I wish I could. I'm in an apartment right now, so that's unlikely. And then what about the attendees age range? What have you guys been seeing from the people attending?
Pretty consistent from what we've seen on your podcast is that 30 to 70, 75 range. I'm grateful my father shows up to most of them. And so he's up there. And we've had a few others in the upper ages, but we've had as low as mid-20s, I'd say.
Yeah, we've had some mid-20s, but overall average, yeah, anywhere between the 30 to 70 range.
And that, yeah, like you said, Tim, you know, that seems to be what most of them are. But, you know, it's really awesome that, you know, Gold Bugs are getting into this as well. And they're coming out to the meetups and coming out and learning. I know on our meetup app, I have some lady messaging me, you know, she never comes, but she seems interested, and maybe with Price Action, she'll come one day. But it's really cool, just all different walks of life coming out to all these meetups sprouting out across the world.
Absolutely. And especially when you get some walk-ins and they're just coming in to get a drink, and then they stop and pay attention just for a little bit, long enough to get that touch point. Like you said, you got to have multiple touch points, because very few people are on the first touch point are going to just be like, yes, I get it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't.
Do they come and sit down with you, or do they just?
We have I haven't seen her in the last couple meetups, but there is a regular at the bar that paid attention for a while, and a long while, and she would ask questions. And yeah, and when her friends come in, she would explain, try her best to explain to them what's going on. And she, I mean.
And then she started bringing a notepad. And
yeah, are you taking notes?
So that's always a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
I keep going to this, like, here's Strike. Let's hook you up. I got you. We got this.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to make or just, do you guys have like any kind of website or anything that you have, or YouTube channel to store videos or anything?
So I've tried a few live YouTubes on my computer, and we've got maybe one or two people that would log on. Most of our stuff, our online presence, social media. I mean, we have a Twitter account, but our biggest following is on Facebook.
Okay.
And to me, that's kind of where we want to be, because that's where our normie friends are, our no coiner friends, all that. You know, we could be on Twitter all day talking with each other and, you know, memeing our way along, but really we got to get those future plebs, you know what I'm saying? To me, that's on Facebook. We're up to almost 300 members on that group, and it's not all local people. It's just like-minded for most part, but
like Twitter.
Yeah, but Twitter also. We have a website where we house all of our presentations.
Okay, cool. So. Yeah. So instead of that lady bringing her notepad, just be like, "Hey, take it easy, sit down, relax. Why don't you go to our website?"
Right.
Exactly.
And then, so do you guys, is it a structured meetup? Do you guys do like a topic focus?
Yeah, we have a topic of discussion that we'll release the month before, telling him what the next month's topic is going to be. So typically, the meetup is structured. We have, you know, first 10, 15 minutes social, meet and greet, and then we get into a presentation. The wine store, it's nice. Not only has a pull down screen, it has projectors, so we can, you know, show a full scale presentation. And they range depending on. I know Tim really loves his PowerPoint slides. It could range from 75 to 80. We try to trim it down, but you know, let's keep it under.
Teachers gotta teach, right? Teachers gotta teach.
But no, all kidding aside, he does great work with the PowerPoints. Usually the you know, that part of the schedule is usually like 45 minutes or so, and then towards the end we have, you know, some wrap up time where people, you know, Q&A and hang out and have another glass of wine and you know, have some more discussion. So
And then let's see. What do you feel like your group provides the best experience? Like what makes you think, you know, hold on, let me backtrack. What do you feel your group does to provide the best experience to people coming to your meetup?
I like the focused aspect of having a topic each time. I mean, yeah, I like to hang out and have drinks and just shoot the shit. But to me, it's like the education is what needs to stick. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we have a specific topic, whether it's like one of them, we did a bunch of articles by Gladstein talking about societal impacts. We did a whole presentation on investments or mining. You remember Andreas's sovereignty staircase, you know, how to, which we, like Dan was just mentioning, when we were talking earlier today, that we need to bring that back after the whole, what just happened.
Right.
We do a lot with Anil. Anil said so on Twitter. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He has some great slides. Like his whole Twitter feed is okay. Just an education in Bitcoin. So we use a lot of his slides. We even did an article by Gigi, Bitcoin's Gravity. And we're getting ready to do Lightning. Next Monday is our next meetup. So I feel having that as a topic, you know, the Q&A doesn't have to be about anything. You know, it can be about whatever that's on their mind, but give them little bite-sized chunks along the way, and that's how you grow, I think.
And we usually poll them at the end of the meetup also. A lot of these discussions that Tim's mentioned have actually come from the attendees, where we'll put a QR code up on the screen. Here, take a short survey. What do you want to hear more about? What do you want to hear as far as, you know, next month's topic? And some of our topics actually came from that, where we were talking about, investment thesis, and then we started talking use cases, and somebody's like, well, we should really dive into use cases. And that's where Anil said so, and he has a whole site. It's free content. It's great. And we went through and did a deep dive in Bitcoin use cases because one of the attendees thought that was a great idea. And I think we also have done that with Check Your Financial Privilege, when we really started to get into how is Bitcoin helping. You know, we see what's going on here in our country, but a lot of people don't see how it's being used in Afghanistan. How a young girl is escaping the tyranny and tragedy in Afghanistan, crossing a border, and how she's securing her wealth. How they're using it in El Salvador is not only is the currency, but transactions. How businesses are adopting it via the Lightning Network. There's a lot of good stories to tell. Outside of what we're seeing in our country. And, we read a lot about that because, we're on Twitter, but a lot of the attendees of these meetups, it's all new to them. And it's eye-opening to start telling some of these stories of what's going on out there.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. A little poll at the end. I'm definitely going to start adding that into ours. Because I don't want it to be me and my buddy just running the show. I want everybody to feel like they have a say in what's going on and feel like they're a part of the meetup as much as possible. Because ultimately it is a small knit group right now, but I need them to feel, as involved as possible. That way they can help spread the word more, get more people involved and more people coming to the meetups in the future.
Get more ownership for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then what are your goals for the group moving forward? Do you have any other plans besides your meetups moving forward?
We just recently got a sponsor. We got BitRefill sponsoring us. And we're using that to first try and grow our Facebook group. Because like I said, that's where the people are. That's where the future clubs are, I believe, the future Bitcoiners. To me, getting that out there, Just spreading the word first and foremost is important. Getting more people to come in to the meetup is the next step to me, because we have a solid base. I think Dan and I work well together. We have a good flow to our meetups. It's just now we got to put people in the seats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So our sponsor money, we're starting to do Facebook ads. I'm going to start doing Twitter ads here soon, trying to just grow the channel social media wise, because we have the business cards. Daniel and I will go hand out business cards wherever we stop throughout town. But right now it's just getting people in the seats.
Yeah.
Dan, you got any ideas you want to share?
I agree with totally what you're saying. It's mainly as far as the main goal, continue to educate and continue to grow within the community and I think part of that education, I mean, I've learned so much in the last year doing this, just creating the content, and it's made us take a deeper dive into specific areas. So we're learning along the way, just like the people that are attending are. And I get a lot of value out of it, out of that.
Well, and the more you're able to teach something, the deeper you understand it, right? Another thing that we've been doing with our sponsorship funds is, I don't know if you've heard this before, I talked to my tax guy. I don't have a solid answer, so this isn't financial advice, but we've been using that to purchase Bitcoin and give it away at the meetup. So 150,000 sats, you know, come to the meetup, we'll put all the names in a hat, draw a name. You got to have, you know, you got to be able to share your address, you know, you got to know that stuff. And that gives an opportunity to actually get people involved. If they don't have it, oh shit, I got to get it now. I got to get a wallet, got to be able to receive. So it kind of forces that. But yeah, giving away sats, to me, that's about the best use of funds we can get. One, it gets people in the seats, and two, it gets the Bitcoin in the hands.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a good idea, because most people just use that. I've seen BitRefill, definitely their name out there. Most people are using that for drink money and stuff. But
mm-hmm. We've done that too.
Yeah.
What better way than give Bitcoin back to the people, you know, and to give a learning experience if they haven't done a transaction before. That could be their first opportunity. And that's a big orange pill moment too.
Right. Again, I'm really waiting to hear a clear answer from my tax guy as how that's going to all work out. But, you know, I have faith.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious about that too. I definitely got to start asking more questions as far as how to handle my taxes in the future. Just to kind of move back to the Bitcoin space, what has been any projects or events that you guys are looking forward to or keeping an eye on currently?
Any got anything? I got a couple ideas, but
go ahead, Tim.
Well, I mean, obviously we could talk about the ETF, but that's just what's that going to do? You know what I mean? Right now. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jack Dorsey does with Web5, the whole decentralized identification, seeing where Taproot goes, the development of the Lightning Network. It's just exploding, which is amazing. Seeing that show up more, Jack Mahler's and Strike, I guess they got approved, am I right, in Europe, somewhere over in Europe, if not all of Europe. So just further adoption of different ways. I still think the biggest catalyst going forward is going to be those energy markets, though. Like, I know it's a meme of either the Saudis buying a bunch of Bitcoin or Russia pricing oil in Bitcoin, but somewhere along those lines of the energy market is going to just explode within the near future, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops.
So many things, it's just waiting to explode in the near future. It's, you know, so many different aspects of what's happening in the world with all this crap that's going on. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things just waiting to blow up below themselves.
I made sure to list them all so Dan couldn't listen to anyone.
Well, no, I agree with you. Like you mentioned Jack Mahler's and his announcement at the last Bitcoin conference with NCR and BlackRock Technologies. I don't think we've really seen the final results of that announcement yet. In the US, as that starts to take hold, I'm excited to see that play out. I think that's really gonna help help it go from the store of value into the medium of exchange adoption phase here in the US. Also, I really like to keep an eye on the charts. It's kind of funny to watch it. You know, we're in a bear market right now. Everything looks like gloom and doom if you talk to people. But then you look at the adoption of Bitcoin wallets that hold over one Bitcoin right now, and they're skyrocketing. They're almost over 900,000 now. That's incredible to see. And same with the Lightning, network. You can look at the charts for the Lightning network, and you look at the capacity, and it's hitting all time highs. So there are so many bullish and exciting trends to keep an eye on going forward out there.
Yeah.
What about you? What about you, Shane? What's your big? I want to know what's your big one. What are you looking
for? I'm a huge Lightning guy. I got a note. The guy who orange pilled me was going to get a node back in October of last year. And I was like, well, shoot, if he's going to get one, I got to get one kind of thing. And he ended up not getting one, but I got one. So I was like, well, I'm not just going to let it sit here. And I started learning. I'm a non-techie person. And that really, made me push my boundaries and learn a lot more. And has really helped me become more of a technical person now. I did the same thing with Umbral. I set up my old restaurant I worked at, Lengthwise Brewing Company in Bakersfield, California. I set them up with a node eventually, and they started accepting Lightning payments. And to see that happening and to think, hopefully soon, in the future, I'll be able to go somewhere and spend my Bitcoin, not because I want to spend my Bitcoin, but because I convert my whole checks into Bitcoin. The possibilities that could do, how much money it'll save small businesses on transaction fees and getting rid of these credit card fees and everything. That's a huge aspect that'll help so many small businesses. I think about the businesses during COVID and, if they were doing all Lightning payments and saving that 2-3%, what a little bit of extra cash could have helped a lot of these businesses do. Even just people living at home, whatever, remittance payments, just everything. It's we already live in a world that we can digitally connect with people around the world. Why can't we not monetarily connect with the rest of the world? It just doesn't make sense. But there's probably a reason to that, and that's because the powerful elites in the world don't want us to be able to do that. And, that is what it is. But the Bitcoin revolution's here to stay, and people will eventually see what the Lightning payment system can do, what Bitcoin overall can do.
Well, and you mentioned businesses, and you're asking about developments. We had the opportunity, honored to have the opportunity. We got to sit down with a few local political business representatives, let's just say, in the Springfield area, and we got to give our pitch. And it's obvious how early we are, but to me, while I want to get as many people, everyday citizens, turned on to Bitcoin, there is a huge information gap. You know all the FUD. You're aware of that. Mm-hmm. So being in a capital city, looking to be able to have more conversations with politicians and business people, to me would be a way to go. Don't have a roadmap for that per se. And if you have any suggestions or ideas, that'd be great. But that's another area. Say that again. Dan?
I just said the interest level's there too. I mean, they're reaching out to us. They want to learn. They understand the disruptive technology that's here in this space, and they definitely want to learn. So that's a good sign.
Have you guys heard of the book Bitcoin and the American Dream? It's written by I know CJ Wilson, and there's seven others. Three Song. That's a great book to pass over to them too. It's not too long and, simple read, but, just kind of a way to start getting them wrapped in.
Speaking of books, I was going to say, speaking of books, that's something else at our meetup. We did this, it's been a few months ago, I think, Tim, hadn't it, where we, Tim said, how many Bitcoin books do you have? And I'm like, well, let me count. I went through and I've got stack so big. He had some too. I'm like, let's just bring him to the meetup. And we set him out there. And to towards the end of the night. Like, on anybody that, you know, wants to expand their knowledge, wants to read up on anything from, you know, Bitcoin Standard, thank God for Bitcoin, Price Tomorrow, you know, we had quite a few, and you know, people come up, look at them and said, you know, borrow them for a month, read them, you know, and then bring them back. So we just kind of started doing that here recently.
And I also, Dan had a great idea. I don't know if you've anything's come of it, but you were talking about taking that stack or even buying a separate stack for the local library and seeing if they could create a Bitcoin section.
Right.
Just donate.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Do people still go to libraries though?
Here, we're in the Midwest, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Small town library.
We don't have that fancy internet.
What do you think, Dan, since you're into macros and all that, you know, you see all these things happening with like the banks in China and stuff. Do you have any opinions on all that?
You know, I've kind of kept a pulse on it a little bit, but I mean, it seems like with what's going on with the real estate, and are they telling us the full story? And then also with the, I think you're talking more recently, the protests, right? Where they pulled the tanks out in front of the bank because they weren't giving them their money. So, you know, that's kind of scary.
Sri Lanka also.
Yeah. Think about it, that they're just like, you know, they were protesting and well, for first off, to be a Chinese citizen to protest in China with their facial recognition cameras everywhere is, and that's pretty brave of them really to be protesting without any type of shield or mask or anything to cover their identity. But I'd say as a Chinese citizen, that's, you know, those are scary times when they can just shut off your bank account and say, sorry, we're not going to let you withdraw at this time, and if you don't like it, then we're going to pull the tanks up and pull them in front of the bank. So be it.
Yeah, really, really wild stuff, and it makes me, you know, am I financially privileged? Am I privileged if I live in America? As far as the mindset, not like the you know, privilege like the other stuff, but you know, because we live in America and have seen the success of the dollar for so long, you know, that's what our parents and grandparents know. And to think of that not being what it's been, you know, it's going to be really eye-opening for people to think that what we're going through is going to get even worse. And it's, you know, it's still going. Whatever it's at now, I can't even keep up with what it's at, the inflation rate. But
true, you know, inflation?
True inflation, yeah, right.
True inflation.
Yeah. So, you know, and they're gonna try to change the definition of recession, and that'll be interesting news to come out this week. And it just really gets me thinking, are we seeing the collapse of the dollar? You know, are we living through that time period? And how many people this is just going to wipe their feet from underneath them?
It's a slow motion train wreck.
I didn't have the changing the definition of recession was not on my bingo card for this year, 2022. I had some crazy stuff on my bingo card, but when that came out this week, I was like, what? Change the definition. We'll just pretend it's not a recession. Therefore, it's not a recession. Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Freaking crazy. I know I tweet it's just, but it's just like everything they say. They, you know, they just want to change the words to try to distract us from what's really going on. But Bitcoiners can seek the truth, seek through, you know, see through the BS. And we know what's coming. We know the recession's here. A lot of times we're living through.
On that point, I mean, being Lincoln land, I got to quote Abraham Lincoln. He once asked an audience how many legs a dog has. If you count the tail as a leg, when they answered 5, Lincoln told them the answer is 4. The fact that you called the tail a leg did not make it a leg. It's like you can't change reality. It's just it's all bogus what they're doing. And
absolutely.
To me, that's what Bitcoin represents. It represents the truth. Like the truth in pricing. One Bitcoin will always equal one Bitcoin. You can't change it. It's a truth machine. What comes in, comes out. Doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks. It's just, it's the truth.
Yeah. And then just to kind of wrap things up, just another last opportunity for you guys to kind of show your group and just how to get a hold of you guys.
Well, Lincoln Land Bitcoin on Facebook. Also on Twitter, we have, what is it? BTC Lincoln Land, I believe.
At BTC Lincoln Land on Twitter.
BTC Lincoln Land. He's D Rentmeister. I'm doxing myself. I'm Max Druthers on Twitter. So we got a. We're gonna have a an email address coming soon. We got the website. We got the Facebook. We got the Twitter. And other than that, I could give out my phone and address and all that, but I don't think we need that.
Yeah, that's not. You're probably better off not.
I've already doxed myself enough.
Yeah. Well, Tim and Dan, I just really thank you for coming on here and talking with me. And most importantly, I thank you for doing Satoshi's work and giving Bitcoiners a place to go and improve the Bitcoin space. So thank you so much, you guys, for doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You got it. And I'll catch up with you here in a sec.
All right.
All right.
All right. That was the guys from Lincoln Land Bitcoin. And that's all we got today for Hard Money, Hard Knocks. Thank you for joining us and thank you for listening. You can listen on Fountain App, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. You can look up Knoxville Bitcoin Network on YouTube, Telegram. And then that's all we got for today. And we'll be back here on Saturday. Thank you for joining us.